In an age where the search for meaning and purpose is the concern of humanity, mastering one's own essence becomes the key in understanding the deeper truths within and around us. This is all about meaningful living. Do you know that we are all connected? How do you make your fullest contribution in the universe, and how do you find the meaning of your existence in everyday minutia? Well, here's an opportunity for you to expand your understanding. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Alex Bliss. Today's podcast is focused on facing life's experiences with an open heart. Every human experience is tied to the growth we need in our lives. Nothing happens by chance. When we are open to learning about ourselves and about other people and the environment around us, we allow ourselves to go through life's experiences, whether they are good or bad, with an awareness. And this awareness helps us pick out the hints, the lessons, and the warnings we may need in order to make a shift towards something better. This acceptance of life in its totality makes it possible to practice the values of gratitude, courage, and happiness, which are only thought to come from good experiences. We also learn to love and appreciate ourselves for braving the storms, and we can inspire others to rise strong in the face of any of life's dysfunctions. Our ability to be brokenhearted increases our capacity to love and be loved, because love feels deeper when it knows heartbreak. It sees clearer through teary eyes. Love identifies better with a mended heart. That makes it important to live open-hearted and open-minded in order to gain something good from every experience. What makes every experience we have with other people important is that it can help us learn what we do not know about ourselves. We are always manifesting, and sometimes we are not aware what we are projecting to the world around us. The interactions we have with people around us help us understand the frequency of the energy we release, the energy we expend, whether it is high frequency energy, which is all manner of positivity, or low frequency energy, which constitute all manner of negativity and pessimism. When we learn we are expending negative energy, we strive for a change in order to improve our own experiences and the experiences we create for other people. Every experience you have with someone serves to reflect a part of yourself you may not be familiar with, or one that you may be evading or avoiding to confront. If you have deep-seated anger, for example, your experience with the other person might trigger you to bring that anger to the surface. And if you are not careful to notice you have been triggered and that you're raging and fuming, you might expend your energy in a negative way. You might find you want to punch them in the face. Whenever your consciousness is calling you to pay attention to the feelings of anger, you're supposed to do just that. When you have deep-seated anger, you'll find that when someone cuts you off in a line at the grocery store, you'll gladly give them a nasty piece of your tongue. A similar situation may happen in a stressful gridlock on the highways or the freeways. When someone cuts you off, the next thing you do is that you hurl a string of expletives to them. That's when you know that you have anger that you need to deal with, you know, because it's actually brought right to the surface. There's always something to learn in every situation. And because we all have parts of ourselves that need healing, experiences will come depending on what lessons we need to learn. That is how everyday minutia carries the most important lessons we might ignore or even fail to know they were there in the first place. Sometimes the way other people behave around us is a function of who we are. And if we can see this truth the moment it is presented to us, we can repair damaged relationships with people, all kinds of relationships. A good example is when someone you know treats you ugly, with disrespect and with contempt. When they do that, you should examine how you treat yourself in their presence, because you get to set an example of how other people treat you. That person becomes a mirror to you and shows you a function of yourself in the way they treat you, even though they do so unconsciously. They might haul a fat joke at you because they keep hearing you complain about your weight, how ugly you look, and how nobody is going to love you like that. You know, so they end up believing that you are indeed fat and you look disgusting and damn ugly just because they heard you say that, okay? And you can't really sue them because you taught them to treat you that way. So if you want that to change, you have to be willing to change your narrative and treat yourself good. And no matter how you look, what shoe size you wear, or how tall you are, if you believe you're gorgeous and live like that, believing like that, everyone will believe you indeed are. Have you ever walked up to someone in a public place knowing you have a stubborn stain on your pants, which is not even prominent? And whenever someone looks at you, you go thinking, oh my God, he just saw it, damn. You think they're actually seeing it and you feel like sinking underground. It is possible to feel uncomfortable with such, and yet you can be so confident walking in a public place after lunch with spinach stuck in between your teeth. And because you don't know about it, you even smile broadly, you know, and you're just fine because you don't know. So it is the narratives we tell ourselves that spoil for us, most of the time, making us exert too much unnecessary pressure on ourselves in a bid to appear perfect and lovable that we forget to pay attention to what we need to learn. Every game has a set of rules. Similarly, all forms of relationships must have clarity of values if they are to remain holding well. Does the other person know what your boundaries are? Do you know what their boundaries are? If there's no clarity of these boundaries, those relationships cannot thrive because you will obviously feel upset and violated when your secret unspoken boundaries are overstepped. But when you spell them out with clarity, there is respect and understanding between you and the other person, and you always have a reference point whenever you feel violated. The other person knows when to keep their elbows off the table, and you both know how to handle each other. What exactly happens when we live with a closed heart? Living with a closed heart is actually living in denial of what's happening in our lives, because our minds are always processing what we see or hear or experience or encounter, and we're supposed to respond to what affects us and those around us, because we all have a shared humanity. Shutting down would mean shutting out the information we need to grow and become better human beings. A closed heart is a heart that does not acknowledge the emotions that come with different experiences. The feelings of sadness, grief, anger, joy, or even bitterness. When you cannot acknowledge you're feeling sad, for example, it means that you have anesthetized yourself and you're numb to your own feelings, and it is a sad thing because these feelings are informational. Sometimes they tell us we need to seek healing, sometimes they tell us we need a vocational escape. Sometimes they surface to tell us we need to talk to someone. Other times they arise to challenge us to confront our own pathological patterns. The escapist route that most people take prevent them from tapping into the treasure of opening up. Because if you cannot open up to learn something about your experiences, then you make your wounds fester the more if you're having something that's paining you. You know, it means you don't want to take responsibility of the bad narratives you're telling yourself about yourself and the ones you're telling yourself about other people too. So this is because when there's a misunderstanding between you, for example, and the other person, you don't face the fact that you need to clear the air between yourselves. You make up a story in your head, what his or her action meant to you, and they also make up a story that validates the feeling they have for you. That makes both of you, in your different capacities, play the victim. You believe he or she is the bad one, and they believe you're the bad one. You see how it works? It's actually fascinating. But what would happen if you went and said, "Hey, I want to iron this out with you. This is what actually happened so that I didn't come to pick you up last night when you called. My neighbor's kid got an emergency and I thought I could use my car to take him to the hospital. I didn't mean to ignore your call." The moment you say that, the other person will do away with their story, the crazy story they had formulated about you and your failure to fulfill your promise. They will even tell you, "I'm sorry, I had interpreted that as ignoring me, you know. I thought I didn't mean anything to you anymore, and that our friendship was on the verge of collapse." You will be surprised what the other person had also made up in their heads about you. But just because you've opened up, the air is cleared and the dust is settled. That is how dangerous failing to open to one another can be. Failure to have an understanding conversation when everyone sits on their high horses because they are right and the other person is wrong. It can cost you friendship. It has cost people their businesses, marriages. It has led to corporations collapsing and countries falling out with each other. It is a disease that starts with an individual but ends up affecting our collective human experience. The knowledge that our individual actions contribute to our collective human experience calls for responsibility, and there is definitely the desire to connect and make meaningful interaction with one another because we are all connected. That a personal decision to build bridges of understanding ultimately inspires the immediate community to do the same, and that affects the world positively, making life meaningful for everyone, one person at a time. That brings us to the end of this podcast. Many thanks for making time. See you next time. Goodbye.